Good morning. Welcome to all our guests this morning. We thank you for joining us. This morning we're going to take a look at a text in which Jesus calls his first disciples. And we will also see his call to repentance. And these are messages that we are all called to today. Sometimes we think that only sinners or non-believers need to repent. But repentance is for each and every one of us, each and every day. When we heard the words repent, we must also hear the words that immediately follow those words. That is, to believe the good news. The other thing we will see here as a call to disciples and to preachers is to follow the word, to follow Jesus Christ. We are not to follow human tradition, human rules, but the person of Jesus Christ himself. And this is something that all mankind is called to receive. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, Chapter 1, verses 14 through 20, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the word. Reading in Jesus' name. Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further hence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in a ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Amen. Please be seated. Our text for this morning comes right after Jesus had defeated Satan and overcome temptation in the desert. He's starting his earthly ministry. He has already been declared by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so with that context built up, now we can see Jesus step into a new phase of his life and his ministry on earth. After John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee preaching the good news of God. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come, is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. The ministry of John has ended. He was arrested. He had done his job. And the one whom he proclaimed to be the forerunner for, is here. Jesus Christ is now starting to preach. And what he says is, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand or near. Now when time is fulfilled, we're looking for the fulfillment of time all the time. We're thinking about it. Well, when's the end coming? And that's really what Jesus is saying. The end is here. I am here. For the kingdom of God is person. When you are in Jesus Christ, when you see Jesus Christ, you see the end. You see the beginning and the end. The kingdom of God is calling out for all people to repent And I know I've said this in the past, but repent is not this morbid idea that we have in our minds. Repent is a change of mind, or as Strong's Greek Hebrew dictionary defines these terms, to think differently or reconsider. Jesus is calling us to reconsider how we think about God. We have it in our minds in a lot of cases that God is out to get us. That somehow we sinned and now God is trying to punish us. That is not what the good news is about. We are called to believe the promise of God that He will forgive our sin, that He will redeem the race of Adam, and in fact has already done this through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. We still want to, though, sometimes think that sin separates us. That somehow it separates us, or it really actually just separates those real sinners out there. God is not separated from any human being. Jesus Christ bridged that gap, that gulf of sin, by washing it away in His blood. And this is a promise that is from the Old Testament, and that the prophets and Moses and all those heroes of faith believed that God was going to do this. And it is fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And we, even as believers, need to come to this change of our minds. That God is not out to punish us, but rather, God loves us. That God has indeed sent His Son to die for the sin of the world, including ours. And God's love is not dependent on what we have done or what we have not done. And I think I really started to understand this whole thing probably in the last few weeks. And I'll tell you why. And now, unfortunately, you're going to get stories from me, because until my son can understand, I can tell him. But my son, I can tell at this point, is going to be a strong-willed child. He has certain things that he cannot touch or is not supposed to touch. And yet he does it all the time. He goes up and he starts beating on it. And then he looks at you, ha ha, what are you going to do now? Well, guess what? Do I quit loving him because he's done even the things that I told him not to do? And he knows better, because he'll run. But this is the thing. We somehow think that our love is less than God, or more than God's. We think our love for our children is somehow less than God's love for us. That's silly. When our children disobey, do we not love them? And do we not forgive them? That's God's love. Regardless of whether we sin or not, God's love is there for us. It doesn't change. And this is the thing that we have to understand about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not dependent on whether we sin or not. It is there for us, no matter what. And it is there for every person in the world. no matter what. And Paul really tells it to us straight in Romans 5:8 when he says this: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Do we sin? Yes. Is it wrong? Yes. Is it forgiven? Absolutely. And that's the thing that we have to remember about the New Testament and the good news. Change our minds. Understand who God is. God did not take into account whether we were sinners or not, and he allowed his son to die, to be nailed to the cross for our sins. And this is the good news that we are called to believe. Now, the disciples that follow Jesus Christ from their former vocation witnessed this demonstration of love throughout Jesus' life and showed people this love throughout their lives. And now we get the calling of those first disciples. "And he was passing along by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon and Andrew, Simon's brother. They were casting a net into the sea, since they were fishermen. 'Follow me,' Jesus told them, 'and I will make you fish for men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him." This is the calling of Jesus' first disciples, two men who would later become apostles. Now, of course, many of you know that I have a special affinity for these men. I think this is very important, because their profession was being fishermen. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. And this is the type of people that I know. I know them very well because I've, of course, dealt with them and been one of them. Especially when you start talking about professional fishermen, be it professional sport anglers or those who would actually cast nets or set traps. They are a rough crowd. Not people that for the most part we would pick to come and lead religious services. Most of the time their vocabulary isn't quite that strong, and in fact, we probably wouldn't want to know most of their vocabulary. And yet, Jesus Christ sees these men. And I think that there's a reason that Jesus calls them. Because when you're a fisherman, each and every day, you can take your life into your own hands. You face wind, water, waves, lines that are dangerous. These men faced nets that they could get tangled in. It was an easy place to die. A very dangerous profession. And yet, there's something that makes you feel alive when you are out there and you are facing those things. And this is the most stories I can ever remember telling in a sermon, but I'm going to give you one more. It was a few years, well, I guess it's probably many years ago now, it's going on 10. But I was fishing with my partner, and we were in a tournament, and we were on a very big lake. And we had fished, and the wind started blowing. And I don't mean just blowing a little ripple on the water. I'm talking between 8 and 10 foot waves. And we had to go all the way back across the lake against those waves. And we took off. And we hit a place that they call Center Bar. And the waves went from 8 to 10 feet to about 20 feet. And the only thing I saw when we hit that place was the trolling motor on the front of the boat over the top of my head. And miraculously, my partner steered us down off of the top of that wave, and he turned and looked at me and he says, "I guess God didn't want us today." And he turned and we faced back into the waves and off we went. But there's something about being a fisherman. You don't get rattled with a lot of things, because death is a part of the profession. And death is definitely part of following the person of Jesus Christ. Because he not only asks us to repent and believe, he asks us to pick up our cross and follow him. That cross that is an instrument of torture. Fishermen understand facing death, and Jesus, by calling them to follow him, is calling them to their death. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. The other thing that I think is very interesting about this is Jesus doesn't give them a job description or an interview. He doesn't make sure that they seem qualified. Now, of course, Jesus knew this, but he doesn't give them, "Well, this is what it's going to do. These are all the costs." And this is something that I think we should really understand as church and as believers. There's not a list of qualifications for people out there or for us to be Christian. We are called to follow the person of Jesus Christ. No matter what our occupation. And we as the body of Jesus Christ are not to determine if someone is qualified. Well, they're good enough. Yeah, they can be in. Because that's not what God did. God sent his Son for everyone. And so when we talk about spreading the word, about bringing this gospel to people, we too should follow whom we say we follow. And bring this message. And tell people that they too are forgiven. No matter what their sin. No matter what circumstance they find themselves in. We bring the message of the good news. And then there's the reaction of Simon and Andrew. They turn their backs on everything they had known. Now they seem to be called to be apostles, to preachers of the word. But they turn their backs on their livelihood. Now this is not something that most people do, and even are called to do, to be honest with you. Are we called, all called, to bring the message of the gospel? Yes. But we know that Simon and Andrew, or Peter and Andrew, are called to be apostles, are called to be proclaimers of that word. And we can see an example in our last verses of someone who did stay to do his normal profession. Going a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in their boats mending their nets. And immediately he called them and left And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Now again, we have the fishermen. And we can go back all the way through that. They got up and they left their father to follow. But you notice, I was thinking about this and I was going, well, how does this all relate? You know, you have Zebedee here. And to me, as I was thinking about this, and again, this is my opinion because I can't back this all up. But to me, when I looked at this, this really came down to Zebedee still needed to fish. People still need food. Because he would catch his catch and he would sell it. And yet his sons were called to a different vocation. To be proclaimers, teachers of the Word of God. You see, we all have professions. We all have vocations. And there is nothing wrong with those vocations. Do them well. Do them to the glory of God the Father and the glory of Jesus Christ. Some are called to be pastors and to be proclaimers of the Word. And I never understood that. And I always thought, well, priesthood, all believers, we're all called to do this. Yes, we actually are. We're all called to spread the Word. But some are called to actually live and make their living proclaiming the Word. And that's okay. But we need you to feed us. And that's the thing that we got to look at. Because we still are all called to bring the gospel, to hear the message of repentance, and to believe the good news. But some of us stay home. Some of us just do our occupation. And that's okay. Because to the body of Christ, we are all needed. And that's an example of Zebedee. And he let his sons go. It's interesting, you don't hear the argument with his sons. They got up and they left. And the reason that I say this is, again, I'm going to tell you a little story. My dad thought I was nuts when I came. What are you doing? You're leaving a great job. And I remember at the time telling him, yeah, I know. But God will take care of me. And He has. And this is the thing. When we are called in Jesus Christ, when we repent and believe the gospel, we start down a journey. Not of following the traditions of men, not of following what people tell us, but following the person of Jesus Christ, knowing what He has done, knowing how He treated people, and showing that same love and mercy to the people that we come in contact with. Repent. Believe the good news. Believe the gospel. And follow me. These are the commands of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Follow the person of Jesus Christ. And if you're worried and want to know what He did, pick up the Gospels, read them. You'll find out how loving He was. Enough to sacrifice Himself and shed His blood for our sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks for this day. We thank You that You have called us first of all, to repentance, and second of all, to believe your gospel, and finally, to be followers of you. And Father, by the power of your word and through your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would help us to be followers of your Son. That, Father, we would show that love and that mercy that he showed to us. That we would go out into this world and proclaim this message, thereby being fishers of men. We ask, Father, that you would continue to work in and through us as the congregation, and that, Father, you would speak through our actions and our words. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.